This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Last month, AFBF President Zippy Duval got to spend a few days in his home state of Georgia, but it was not just a leisurely visit home. He was there to help shine a spotlight on the labor problems that farmers are facing all across America as demand for imported workers increases and the federal government's seasonal agricultural worker visa program, H-2A, can't keep up. At the American Farm Bureau, they've heard from farmers in 22 states that they are experiencing delays in the government's processing of their H-2A applications and in getting workers when they are needed, when vegetables, peaches, berries, and other crops are ripe for harvesting. Duval talked with blackberry farmer Tim McMillan, who says he isn't sure if his sons will be able to come into the family business. The farm cannot grow to support more family members if it can't even get enough workers to harvest the crops it already produces. He says the labor situation is holding him back. Peach farmer Robert Dickey says labor shortages and H-2A delays could cost him his farm in just one season. A crop left rotting in the field or orchard is a crop that costs money to plant and take care of, but will not make any money. It's a year's worth of income that won't be coming in. With good spring weather and bumper crops, the need for workers is up this year. But the ag labor shortage is a perennial problem. The H-2A program simply does not work. It is costly, time-consuming, and riddled with unnecessary hurdles for the farmer to jump over. After all that, it still doesn't ensure that farmers can get the workers they need when they need them. Only Congress can fix this by passing agricultural labor and immigration reform. Some may wonder why Farm Bureau was talking about this during an election year, when Congress is not expected to pass any major bills, much less legislation dealing with something as hotly debated as immigration. But our job, as the voice of agriculture, is to make farmers and ranchers' voices heard. This year, more of them than ever say that labor shortages are a serious threat to their farms and to consumers' access to American-grown food. It is our job to let Congress know, election year or not, this problem has not gone away. It's time for Congress to answer the question, are we going to import labor or import our food? A new video produced by AFBF shines a spotlight on the frustrations of the nation's farmers in finding workers to harvest their crops. While the video highlights peach production in Georgia, it also outlines the scope of the farm labor problem across the U.S. Hiring a seasonal skilled workforce to bring crops in from the fields to America's tables has proved to be difficult, if not impossible, for farmers. That's why many farmers rely heavily on a program called H-2A, through which the federal government grants foreign national short-term visas to help harvest crops. According to AFBF President Zippy Duval, this is a serious issue for farmers across America. If you have a crop that's ready and your harvest window is narrow and your workers show up late, you're going to lose your crop. The new AFBF video can be located on the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Facebook page. The American Farm Bureau Federation closed entry submissions for its third Rural Entrepreneurship Challenge on June 30th and is pleased to announce the submission of 355 applications from 39 states. Judging of entries submitted by entrepreneurs competing in the challenge who are vying for $145,000 in startup funds is underway. AFBF is pleased with the great applications and innovations occurring in rural communities across the country. They have exceeded the goal for the number of applicants and doubled submissions compared to last year. All applications, which include a business plan, video pitch, and photo, will be reviewed by judges and provided feedback. The top 10 teams will be announced in October. This includes six teams who will each win $10,000 in startup funds and the final four teams who will advance as finalists. Bob Young, AFBF's chief economist, pointed out in a recent article that the UK has often sided with American farmers on issues like biotechnology. He said the UK's departure from the European Union could mean U.S. agriculture producers may face stiffer regulations from the European Commission, the EU's executive body. The UK has always been a good moderating voice in the EU, according to Young. The United Kingdom guys are the ones who say, come on, we've got to do this, or that's stupid, let's get this moved. Nothing beats a cold bowl of ice cream on a warm summer day. However, your bowl of ice cream would not be possible without our four-legged mooing friends. Grab your favorite flavor of ice cream and celebrate National Ice Cream Month. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan designated July as National Ice Cream Month, and the third Sunday of the month, this year that's July 17th, as National Ice Cream Day. He recognized ice cream as a fun and nutritious food that is enjoyed by over 90% of the nation's population. In a proclamation, President Reagan called for all people of the United States to observe these events with appropriate ceremonies and activities. About 10.3% of all the milk produced by U.S. dairy farmers is used to produce ice cream, contributing significantly to the economic well-being of the nation's dairy industry. Thousands of years ago, people in the Persian Empire would put snow in a bowl, pour grape juice concentrate over it, and ate it as a treat. They did this when the weather was hot and used the snow saved in the cool-keeping underground chambers known as yakchal, or taken from the snowfall that still remained at the top of the mountains by the summer capital. It is believed that ice cream was first introduced into the United States by Quaker colonists who brought their ice cream recipes with them. Their ice cream was sold at shops in New York and other cities during the colonial era. Ben Franklin, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson were known to have been regular eaters of ice cream. First Lady Dolly Madison served ice cream at the inaugural ball in 1813. In 1832, African-American confectioner Augustus Jackson created multiple ice cream recipes as well as a superior technique to manufacture ice cream. In 1843, Philadelphian Nancy Johnson was issued the first U.S. patent for a small-scale hand-cranked ice cream freezer. It is said that today there are over 1,000 ice cream flavors. Enjoy National Ice Cream Day by sharing some with your family and friends. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.